welcome to an emergency Pick Six podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. And, wow, sometimes, you know, look, you spend a week together in Fort Lauderdale. News breaks. Andrew Luck retires. You throw up the bat signal and people go flying out of birthday parties, darting out from bed, leaping from whatever out from under bridge they live under in Nashville. Everyone's here together immediately. We have a super friend show. Sean, do you want to apologize on air to your friend whose birthday party you left for this Andrew Luck break? Andrew Luck retired. I mean, like, I can't, it's insane. I don't know that this isn't the craziest thing that's ever happened in the 10 years I've been covering football.
Brinson, this is your anchorman moment. You sounded the conch. We all showed up.
Did that sound like a conch?
Buzz.
Cool. No, that was John Breach, not Sean Wagner, right? People sometimes can't tell them apart. But Breach, you're right. I mean, I actually, you know what? Screw Sean. We don't need Sean. John, you're the captain of crazy. Where do you put this on stuff you've seen in the last 5 to 10 years in terms of the NFL?
This is top three. I mean, so you remember just 2 weeks ago we were saying how crazy it was that a star wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders got frostbite on his feet from a cryotherapy chamber, and that was crazy. And we didn't think there was any way that could be topped unless he somehow topped it. And now this, it got topped. Somehow it got topped. This is like, I mean, maybe Barry Sanders is the only other player I could think of off the top of my head but obviously Twitter, internet wasn't as big as everything is now. This is insanity.
I checked Adam Schefter of ESPN first reported it. I checked that tweet, and look, this happened on Sunday night around 9:45.
Saturday night,
9:45. Excuse me. Whatever. You get the point. But so it was Saturday night. Like, people were out and about doing stuff. The Colts are playing a preseason game against the Bears. Not that we were checked out, but, you know, we're watching football. Miami and Florida were playing an absolute drunken college football game, the first one of the year. We're not thinking about Andrew Luck and the Colts and their future. We're thinking, maybe we'll get an update on whether or not he can be ready for week one. And instead, he retires. And I mean, I don't think there's anyone who saw this coming. On Thursday night, Ryan Wilson, we're sitting there with RJ White, our editor, at dinner. And I was lamenting how this Andrew Luck stuff had me worried about my Colts division winner bet. I was like, man, if I could, I would sell that right now. And he was like, I'll buy it from you plus money. I'll buy it right now. And I should have sold it to him because – this is a nightmare.
Yeah, no, I was actually talking about Andrew Luck earlier Saturday evening, only because I was on Sportsline with Jamie Eisenberg and Todd Furman. And we were saying, yeah, you know, 2 weeks max, you would imagine that Luck will be back. Jacoby Brissett can hold it down. So in terms of craziness, craziest things that happened in your 10 years and my 9 years and Breach's 6 or 7 years and Sean's few years.
What a backhanded compliment. Keep going. You're like, your 10 years, my 9 years. Breach's 6 or 7 years. Who knows?
Yeah. When did you join us, Breach?
2011. But I started with college. And let me tell you this. I started covering the Pac-12. I covered Andrew Luck in college. I went to the bathroom at a media day once.
Breach and I were actually talking about in Florida about the later game we were both at that he was covering and I went to as a fan of Cal, right?
Yeah. So. No backhanded compliments, but what I was going to say is, in terms of craziness in the time that we've all been watching NFL football, Tim Tebow getting drafted, but maybe even crazier than that. I'm just throwing out crazy ideas. I'm not sure why that's funny. Tim Tebow signing with the Patriots. That was sort of bonkers. Jerry Jones not drafting Johnny Manziel, and then the Browns trading up to get him at 22. That was sort of crazy at the time, and then him bouncing around.
I would also throw out Aaron Hernandez killing a bunch of people.
Oh, my gosh.
And then hanging himself in prison. I mean, that not to be flippant about it, but that was insane. Laramie Tunsil's bong thing on draft night was
Laramie Tunsil's
pretty
thing,
nuts.
It was right up there. You wrote that. You couldn't wait to write that on draft night.
Calvin Johnson retiring was up there. That came out of nowhere in June.
Oh, actually,
I wrote
Calvin. No, it wasn't. No, it was the week before the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah.
Because
it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, but like I wrote it in a Uber with Chris Wessling and Dan Hansis on the way to San Francisco, and they were
your
like
real, your true best friends.
No, my real best friends, and they were like, whoa, Brinson, what, man, you work pretty hard, buddy.
Before we move on, this isn't
also well. I would just point out one more I'd lump in there.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning and the neck surgeries and being like released by the Colts and being a free agent is right up there too.
And that was 2012.
And Andrew Luck missing all of 2017 was shocking. Like, everybody's like, hey, it was the same conversation. He might miss a week or two. That's what everyone thought going into the season. All of a sudden, we get into the end of September, and it's like, you know what? Sorry, guys, he's out for the year. That was shocking.
Yeah.
One more. Oh, a couple more.
By the way, I want to just get this, squeeze this in. I tweeted this, but it like, when you really roll it around in your brain, it's pretty nuts. Andrew Luck retired 3 years after Peyton Manning retired.
I tweeted that 20 minutes before you did, by the way.
That's where he usually steals it from Reddit, so maybe someone posted your tweet to Reddit.
That's Game of Thrones theories. So anyway.
Oat milk.
That's a heavy sandwich. Two more. Michael Sam getting drafted was huge. He didn't last. I don't think he made the team.
That's a good one. No, Michael Sam, making out with his boyfriend on camera after being drafted.
One more that in term, this may not even make the top 10, but it sort of sticks out to me. The Mark Sanchez tattoo and the cold feet thing was crazy. I mean, that's in terms of craziness, that's crazy.
I'll add is Johnny Manziel going to Vegas and using like a fake ID that was like Billy, whatever it was. Because that felt like a story when it broke that I was like, I'm not writing that because that's fake and I'm not writing a fake story.
You know what else belongs in here? But none of us were working at CBS at the time.
I know what it's going to be. I'll give you the initials and you tell me.
R.M. Yeah. Michael Vick, Ron Mexico, and Michael Vick being arrested for running a dog fighting ring going to jail for multiple years amidst being like the most disruptive and insane quarterback in the history of football.
Because that happened, and then that's when the Louisville coach with the neck brace had to quit. What was it, Bobby?
Bobby Petrino. Petrino.
And then that's why they ended up drafting Matt Ryan in 2008. But
we're like three or four items away from Sean being like, let's not forget about Patrick Mahomes and his 50 touchdowns in 2018.
I was going to say the Bears cutting Jay Cutler.
The
trade was,
Broncos trading Jay Cutler was out there. But I mean, this is pretty stunning stuff. And, we're recording this on Saturday night. I don't have all the audio from the press conference. I don't know that I can get the audio. If I could, I would definitely spend my time trying to bet on the Colts under. For win totals, it disappeared. I had this stupid bet on the Colts to win the division for a lot of money. I put down some money on the Colts under 9.5. So here,
you know who else bet on the Colts to win the division?
Who?
That guy.
RJ White bet me.
Ooh, ouch.
Was that a dinner?
That was at dinner and we have it on video. Should he just give me the money now?
Yes.
Oh, it was even odds. I got the three. I get the Jags, Texans, and Titans. RJ gets the Colts and only the Colts.
But remember, I described this either at dinner or on this podcast before, but like I have a text thread with a couple of my good friends in Raleigh, and they're all on the Colts too. And like when I was like, Andrew Luck's retiring, it's an absolute dog pile on top of me. Like a battle of the bastard situation. And understandably.
Eric Young knocking you out.
Yes. Like Eric Young checking me out. But, I was like, listen guys, you can keep dogpiling on me or you can go and hammer Colts under 9.5 plus 105. If you can find that anywhere, you won't be able to by the time this podcast is out and released. You should hammer that. My question to each of you is if the over under was 9.5, minus 135, I think, for the over, plus 105 for the under. With Andrew Luck, what is the over-under in terms of their win total now? And if you're someone who has – I don't know the answer. It's not out there. Vegas won't have it until tomorrow. Go first, Ryan. Why would it be 8?
I think – first of all, Jacoby Brissett came in 2017. They just traded him right before the season began from Pittsburgh to Indy. So he was thrown in there. Completely different team. It was a terrible football team, and he's been in that offense for 2+ years now. So I think he's – and Andrew Luck actually said this Saturday night that part of the reason he retired, in addition to, you know, being in a lot of pain, is that he felt comfortable with Jacoby Brissett. And there were reports in the recent last offseason, I believe, that teams wanted to trade for Jacoby Brissett. I believe second-round picks were thrown around, maybe even first round. I can't remember exactly. But everything else around Jacoby Brissett is – in pretty good shape. Last year, Andrew Luck was sacked 18 times. Two years before when we last played, he was sacked 41 times. So the defense has Darius Leonard. They got Justin Houston. They drafted Rocky Sin. They drafted two more guys that are great athletes and they can fly around the ball. So I think there's a lot of reason for optimism at every position but quarterback, but I have a lot of faith in Jacoby Brissett. And I think that maybe we're underselling that because of the shock value of Andrew Luck actually legitimately quitting. So I'm going to go with 8.
What would you say, John Breach?
I think that is close. I'll say 7.5 so that if you bet 8, you actually get the win. Because if they hit 500 without Luck this kind of short notice, I think that would be somewhat surprising. But as Ryan kind of alluded to with Jacoby Brissett, he doesn't just know the system. He's been running it. He's probably run it as much as Luck has in Frank Reich's system, because he's been there this entire offseason. Luck's missed all this time. Jacoby's been running that thing since March, so he's really gotten a good feel for it. But the thing about the Colts is that now this is a big informational thing to digest, to kind of completely revamp your football team. You're now designing the offense completely around Jacoby Brissett. And it's a lot to do when you have 3 games. They open the season with the Chargers, Titans, and Falcons. And now that could be an 0-3 start, and that's hard to dig yourself out of that kind of hole.
Our friend who is on this program, Andy Benoit, tweets, Colts are still the team to beat in AFC South. Jacoby Brissett has the attributes of a high-level starting quarterback. So, Sean, what's the over-under?
I think I'm a little bit more pessimistic. I think I say 6.5.
Whoa! I don't disagree with you in the stance of that will be it.
The question was?
Yeah, but I just want to add one thing before you continue, is that I think that, and Vegas would only do this to avoid a massive window on a win total situation. If somebody had bet heavy on the under on the Colts at 9.5, I don't think they would go 6.5, because that same person, if they bet, let's say they bet $10,000 on the over, it's at 9.5, or the under at 9.5, they could bet $10,000 in the over at 6.5 and have a 7, 8, 9 window, which is your wheelhouse to hit both. But I agree with you with the construct. I think it's lower. I think that it will end up being 8 instead of 7.5 or 6.5. But go ahead. Why do you think it should be 6.5?
I mean, I think Jacoby Brissett should be valued as a backup quarterback, but I don't think he's a quarterback you want for a 16-game season. And we referenced that 2017 season as evidence of Jacoby Brissett is one of the best backup quarterbacks, and that's true. If you look at his stats, he threw 13 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and an 81.7 passer rating. To me, that screams backup quarterback, and that's not a slight on Jacoby Brissett. He should be a backup quarterback. So now if you're saying a 16-game season with him, I think for me, like, 7 is difficult to get to. Now, this is what I'll say, though, is that suddenly I think the AFC South is a division where I think I said this on the podcast a couple of days ago, maybe it was just with you guys, that 8 or 9 wins maybe gets them there. And the thing we haven't mentioned yet is that Lamar Miller appeared to suffer a serious injury tonight with the Texans. So suddenly a lot of people would say if the Colts aren't winning the division, the Texans are winning the division. Texans already got hit with a big injury. We know there's a lot of questions on the defensive, on the offensive line. Reports are they might trade Jadeveon Clowney. So I think the Colts aren't out of this per se, but I think it's because the division is kind of back to the AFC South of a few years ago when we used to make fun of them for sending, 8-9 win teams to the playoffs.
Sean, let me ask you something real quick, because you just said you don't think 2017 was a good indication of whether or not Brissett can be good. I think this team this year is a lot more stacked, a lot more talented. Who do you think had the second most receiving yards on that team in 2017 that Brissett was throwing the ball to?
Dontrell Inman. Was he on the Colts then?
He faced you. He faced you, Breach.
No, it wasn't Dontrell Inman. It was Jack Doyle, the tight end.
What was it, Dontrell Inman? Was he even on the team then? Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
No, I mean, but I was just picking
he
up.
He faced me by guessing a guy that was on the roster?
Sean dunked on himself.
This should help. Stephen O of Sportsline.com. By the way, you can get Sportsline.com. Use that promo code TROPHY for $1 for your first month. Get expert picks, tons of advice.
Or promo code BREACH.
No, screw that. Use promo code Brinson. Everyone on this podcast should use promo code Brinson. I want that Amazon gift card.
I faced you, Brinson.
You did. Good job. Yeah. Let's get it. According to Stephen O, with Andrew Luck, the Colts were a 9.1 win team in average on his simulations, and a 7.3 win team without Andrew Luck. That's a 1.8 win difference. That's a lot of wins in the NFL. They go from being a team that would make the playoffs 59.4% of the time to a team that will make the playoffs 24.7% of the time. Long and short, it's a huge hit.
Can I add something to that? So the 1.8 game difference is big, as you point out.
And this is
I've been beating this drum for months, and I have to yell at Breach now because he's on the P. Prisco train. You may be too, Brinson. I'm not sure. But again, the difference between Bortles and Nick Foles, is that two games? Is that the same difference between Brissett and Luck?
Didn't see this becoming a bash Nick Foles situation.
But no, but just because we're pushing the Jaguars.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and bang the drum for Jacoby Brissett being the savior because I'll be called a hoe.
NC State.
Exactly. That's why I'm not going to bang the drum. I do agree with our friend Andy Benoit, though, that Jacoby Brissett is better than people think, that he is an undervalued asset, that he has only, he's only started 17 games in the NFL. And I know he went 4-11 for the Colts in 2017 when Andrew Luck was hurt. This is a much better situation with a much better coaching staff, better weapons.
Josh points out he knows the offense. He just got there the week before he started. Yeah. Let me put this to you guys. Would you rather have Jacoby Brissett or Jimmy GQ?
Do we factor in contracts?
I'd rather have Jacoby Brissett.
With contracts mattering, yeah.
Nope.
Oh, even straight up, you would rather have?
I think so.
This sounds like we're about to make a bet right here on the air about like who's going to be a better quarterback this year.
It'll be too hard to determine what the
– Who has the better record, the 49ers or the Colts?
The Colts.
It's a vote for Jacoby.
I've been very low on the 49ers, so I still say Colts. I'm going to dunk on myself for a moment. I said that Dontrell Inman was the second receiver on the Colts in 2017. Guess who Dontrell Inman played for in 2017?
The Chargers.
And the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, he was traded by
their own roster. Probably should have knew that considering they're my favorite team.
I mean, I was, you just threw me off by saying something that made no sense, so I didn't know what to do with it. Okay. I'm going to ask a question, and I'm not asking this because Sean mentioned it before. I'm asking it because my buddy Nathan, who I was on a text thread with, he also has the Colts to win the division. He's not happy about it right now. And he said, I agree with him. Let's talk about Andrew Luck's career. Because Andrew Luck was the first player taken overall in the 2012 NFL draft. The quarterbacks who were taken ahead of him, or behind him, excuse me, were Robert Griffin III, taken second overall, Ryan Tannehill, 8th, Brandon Weeden, 22nd, Brock Osweiler, 57th, Russell Wilson, 75th, Nick Foles, 88th, and Kirk Cousins, 102. Now, you can throw B.J. Coleman in there, too, if you want to talk about guys who went to the prestigious Macaulay School in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And if we want to talk about those people, we can. But by and large, those are the list of people who are relevant starters in the NFL. And if you had said, hey, Will, I'll give you 2-1 odds, and you can bet, or like 10, actually, I'll give you 10-1 odods that Andrew Luck retires before Brandon Weeden and Brock Osweiler. You can bet as much as you want. I would be on the street right now because my stuff would have been taken from my house. Everything I own, my child, my wife, my dog, my hair plugs. I would have bet Sean. Like there'd be somebody showing up in Oakland like, excuse me, Mr. Wagner, McGuff. Is it McGuff or is it Magoo? We don't know, but we own you now because your pal, Mr. Brinson, bet you in an Andrew Luck situation. I mean, this is insane.
Where's the question?
What's the question? You're like, let me ask you a question, and then you never.
No,
is
there like
insane?
No, I mean like
I agree. It's insane.
No, of course. But what do you do with his career? He played 6 years.
Let me set the stage as we continue because Zach Kiefer, the Athletic, tweeted this out earlier Saturday night after Andrew had his press conference. Physical toll on Andrew Luck through 6 seasons, torn cartilage in 2 ribs, partially torn abdomen, and lacerated kidney to left impeding blood, at least 1 concussion, torn labrum in his throwing shoulder that caused him to miss all of 2017, and this mysterious calf ankle issue that now leads to his retirement. So Sean posed this question before we started recording.
And by the way, Jim Irsay and Frank Reich, sorry not to interrupt you, Ryan, but it's sort of my thing. Jim Irsay is live right now talking about this. Getting this from Greg Rosenthal's Twitter. This sounds like a Stranger Things quote. Somewhere this dark shadow emerged in the corridors of our hallway.
Well, that's it.
I mean, what is he talking about?
Lives in
this
the
is
upside
insane.
Down.
Also, thank you, John.
If we're also going to mention Jim Irsay quotes, Mike Garofalo was tweeting after we started during his press conference that it sounds like Irsay is already trying to talk about how Luck can come back, saying Luck has to, quote, find his way. And he also mentioned Tiger Woods winning the Masters and Michael Jordan coming back. So it sounds like the Colts are just clinging to the hope that he changes his mind. I doubt that'll happen.
You know what Andrew Luck said when he was asked on the press conference? I can't see the future. I very clearly in my mind see that I won't. So I don't know if
just listening to his general vibe, he sounded like a guy who was exhausted and just ready for this all to be over. So I don't buy that that he will come back. Now, and talk about the question that Brinson was going to pose about his career.
I wouldn't pose him a question. It's an open-ended conversation about what do we make of this career? I mean, it's
derailed by injury. That's what you make of it.
I agree with that. And if you look at, just to put it into context before we debate this,
he was 33-15 in his first 3 years, and he led that team to the playoffs three straight years despite a horrifically bad supporting cast that was left with no cabinet. The cabinet was empty thanks to Bill Polian screwing it up. Ryan Grayson came in and botched it even more, and he beat all the odds. So go ahead, Sean.
No, I wasn't going to submit an argument, but I was just going to say, if you look at quarterbacks since he entered the league in 2012 and kind of where he ranks among every quarterback, and the minimum requirement I used was starting a single season, so 16 starts. He is 13th in passing yards. And keep in mind, he missed a full season, so you should jack up these numbers a little bit. Still 10th in touchdown passes. And if you look at passer rating, he's 19th. Just to put those numbers into context, the thing I would say is the reason partially his career wasn't what so many people thought it was going to be coming out of Stanford when he was a generational prospect isn't his fault. And I'm not talking about the injuries. It's that, to your point, Brinson, the teams he was playing with in the early portion of his career were so bad and they couldn't protect him, which is obviously why these injuries have sprung up, that the reason it's so disappointing is because it felt like last year Luck had finally the coach and the weapons around him to actually become that generational quarterback that we thought he was going to be. So that's why it's so disappointing. And I'm not going to go as far as to call him a bust. I had multiple friends text me or say to me right after the news asking if he was an all-time draft bust. I don't think he's even in that category because I think he played long enough and he took the Colts to enough playoff berths single-handedly that he doesn't deserve to be called that. And I think that if he didn't come along and if the Colts didn't draft him, this franchise could have torpedoed in between Manning and whatever quarterback they would have wound up.
Just as a quick counterpoint, when he showed up in 2012 and played well through 2014 before being injured, Peyton Manning was better in those 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, Andrew,
that was the same.
Calling Andrew Luck a bust is just absurd. It's not even like
he played 6 years.
Terrell Davis played 7 seasons. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. Who?
Terrell Davis, the running back for the Broncos.
But they didn't spend the first overall pick on Terrell Davis.
It was a 6th-round pick.
They traded. Yes. They traded. Listen.
You can play a short career and still have a great career. It's not a bust career.
Look, the Colts traded the single greatest player in the history of their franchise by far, and it's not even remotely close. And they cut him. They cut him and sent him packing because he was too hurt to win games for them. They drafted Andrew Luck.
Not why they cut him. They cut him because he had 14 neck surgeries. They didn't cut him because he was too hurt to play.
They knew they were drafting Andrew Luck.
Peyton Manning could only throw the ball 15 yards in March 2012 when the Broncos signed him. They took a leap of faith. Jim Irsay wasn't willing to wait to take.
Who was better from 2012 to 2014?
Peyton Manning.
So what's your point, though? What does that have to do with Andrew Luck's career being a bust?
They could have written out
Peyton Manning wins the Super Bowl in those 3 years if he stays in Indy? I don't think that happens.
He went to one with the Broncos.
I think the supporting cast in Denver was a heck of a lot better than it was. Like, Luck survived behind terrible offensive lines. I think if Peyton had played out his career behind that offensive line, he doesn't play for those full years, and he doesn't go for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns.
And it doesn't matter that he went to, so he would have gone somewhere else and then have to retire after 6 years. It wouldn't have mattered whether Peyton was in Indy or not.
Dude, Peyton Manning handled that like a absolute champion.
Five different conversations.
No, but I mean,
you have to place the context of this conversation with the idea that they turned down 3 years of 4 years of Peyton Manning for Andrew Luck, and they got six years out of Andrew Luck.
They got less out of Andrew Luck than what was left in Peyton Manning. And if Peyton Manning had turned this the way that Brett Favre had turned things in Green Bay, Jim Irsay dodged a bullet here. I mean, Peyton Manning could have burnt him to the ground. He went out graciously. He played well. He still comes back to Indy. He's nice, even though, by the way, the fan base booed Andrew Luck. I'm just saying,
which is absurd.
It's absurd. Yeah. That part's disgraceful.
So, wait a second, just so I'm clear, you're saying Andrew Luck's career is a bust or not?
He retired before the age of 30, and he was the number one overall pick and a quarterback who also signed a $125 million extension. Yes, I think it might be a bust.
A player can be a bust without it being their fault. You know, like Greg Oden is a bust, but no one blames him.
And Sean, do you think Greg Oden and Andrew Luck are comparable?
My entire argument was that you can be a bust and it can't be your fault.
Here's another one, and Pete Briscoe would agree with this one since you guys didn't like the Terrell Davis. Tony Boselli only played 7 seasons. He's the second overall pick in the NFL draft in 1995. No one thinks he's a bust. People talk about him as a potential Hall of Famer. You can play 7 seasons, take your team to the playoffs 4 years. They suck when you're not on the field. You're not a bust. He made the team better every time he was on the field. You're not a bust if you do that. He's not Ryan Leaf.
Just so we're clear, your comp was Tony Boselli?
That he played 7 years. He's a second overall pick, and now he's a potential Hall of Famer.
Not a Hall of Famer.
Potential Hall of Famer.
Very clearly more political than on the field.
So you want to put Andrew Luck in the Hall of Fame?
No, I'm saying he's absolutely not a bust.
He's not a bust. There's a huge gap between being a bust and going to the Hall of Fame. And I find it interesting that before we started podcasting, Sean brought up this stupid-ass question, and everyone said it's a stupid-ass question.
All right, let me ask you.
Now changing his story.
No, wait a minute.
Let me ask you this, Ryan Wilson. Is Robert Griffin III a bust?
Yes, he is very much a bust. Let me explain why.
He's still playing in the NFL.
Can I explain?
Sure.
First year, fantastic year. Mike Shanahan, for some reason, leads him in the game in that playoff game against Seattle.
It's not his fault, but he can be a bust.
Wait. If your explanation is his coaching staff got him hurt and his career was derailed because of that, then Andrew Luck is the same thing, buddy.
Finish. He got hurt after the first year, came back too soon, was terrible in year 2, was benched for Kirk Cousins in year 3 because he didn't understand the offense, didn't do what Jay Gruden wanted him to do. He was cut. He was out of the NFL for a year, signed by Baltimore where he is a backup to Lamar Jackson, someone who can't throw the ball more than 50% of his passes. I like Lamar Jackson, but I'm just being honest. So, I mean, if you're comparing those two careers, you, sir.
So just to be clear. The highly drafted quarterback from 2012 plays really well early in his career, suffers an injury, has to leave the game for a year.
He did not have to leave the game for a year. He didn't play for a year because he was terrible.
Because he was horrible. It had nothing to do with injury. In 2015?
I'm asking,
go ahead, Sean. Go ahead.
There can be different degrees of bust.
God, you guys are insane.
It's not a binary of ultra bust or no.
Yeah, it's not one or oh, yeah.
Let me put it this way. If you had told the Colts in 2012 before they drafted Andrew Luck that he would play 6 seasons and not win a Super Bowl, would they have taken him? Now look, and again, I'm not saying this is Andrew Luck's fault at all. And I wouldn't even go so far as calling him a bust, but I can understand why someone would think that.
Expectations
for him were he wasn't LeBron James, but he was a once in a generation type of quarterback the way he was talked about at Stanford. Therefore, the expectations are higher. It's not his fault, but the expectations are significantly higher. And when you play quarterback and you have those expectations, unfair or not, it is Super Bowl. That's what it is.
There are 3 quarterbacks in the past 40 years that have been spoken about in terms like Andrew Luck. Luck, Peyton, and Elway. And those are the only, oddly enough, all 3 connected to the Colts. Those are the only 3 guys who have been spoken about as you have to. The Colts turned down multiple first round picks when a team tried to trade up and get him. I think, let's ask Sean's question in a different way. I'll ask Ryan, since you seem to be the enthusiastic gentleman on the other side of this argument. If we go back in time to that Indy, remember we were at the Super Bowl in Indy and we're sitting there in that little room?
Go ahead.
If you told Jim Irsay, here's what happens with Andrew Luck's future, here's what happened with Peyton Manning's future, do you cut Peyton Manning and draft Andrew Luck, or do you keep Peyton Manning and draft someone else and trade that for 3 first-round picks? All I'm asking is, I'm not asking for an explanation as to why you think that's a bad question. I just want to know, what would Jim Irsay do there?
Knowing, if I know everything, if I'm omniscient, certainly I'm keeping Peyton Manning and trading the picks. But we didn't know that.
Right, but and I'm not saying
that's an insane.
But that makes it seem like you do think Luck's career is a disappointment.
Right, and that was not his fault.
Chasm. It's not his fault.
All right, we could also say that Andrew Luck was a disappointment without saying he's a bust.
That's what I would say.
Let me flip the question, and I'll ask John, since John actually is probably more vehement about this than I am, but he's not as outrageously outraged as me.
That's just what happens when you're up past your bedtime.
Just for the record, I flipped Sean on my side. Just saying that.
Yeah, Sean's somehow proud of that. You guys are team dunk
you
face.
You brainwashed Sean in Fort Lauderdale. I saw it happening right before my eyes.
So Breach, discounting the Colts.
There's all those bourbons on Thursday night.
Yeah, no good. Discounting the Colts and a few other teams that are franchise quarterbacks, if someone came to an owner of an NFL team that has struggled historically and said, you can have Andrew Luck for 6 years, this will be your record, 11-5, 11-5, 11-5, and then whatever happens the subsequent seasons when he was healthy, are you taking that for his contract?
If you told me, no, who has followed the Bengals my whole life, that was an option,
yes,
I would jump on that in a split second. I wouldn't even think twice. I don't even care if they didn't get to the Super Bowl. I would just say, give me those playoff bursts. I'm happy. So, yes, you can flip this.
John, I hate to break it to you, but you know who has the same number of 10-win-plus seasons as Andrew Luck and was drafted a year earlier?
How many playoff wins does he have?
Dude, Andy Dalton's career record is 68-50-2. He has from 2012 to 2015, Andy Dalton had more wins than Andrew Luck.
Brenton, would you take Andy Dalton or Andrew Luck for those 3 years?
Well, one lost a top pick.
Whose career is going to end up being better, Andrew Luck or Andy Dalton?
Well, Andy Dalton's going to have higher numbers, passing yards, because he's going to have play longer, but so is Blaine Gabbert. So is Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to have better pass numbers than
you could ask 32 general managers who they would take, and not one of them is taking Andy Dalton over.
Well, all 32 are taking Andy Dalton tomorrow, so because he's still in the NFL. I'm
not convinced of that either.
I mean, you guys are Jim Irsay. You think he's coming back? It ain't happening. He's walking away.
I look forward to you putting this on Twitter and seeing the reaction, because Sean, you're getting dragged down by this maniac. I hope you enjoy it.
And the tweet has to say,
no, Sean's.
Wait, no.
Yes or no?
This is going to become a thing, to clarify, my official position is disappointment. No, I said this 2 minutes ago, but YouTube isn't yelling. Disappointment, not a bust.
Hey, Sean, no one can see me.
Binary.
Hey, Deion Sanders. Nice move. Nice move backfilling in man coverage.
Oh, my God. Sean,
that was sad.
The question, which was, if you knew this, would you still draft and keep Peyton Manning? You keep Peyton Manning. And I would not draft Andrew Luck with the number one pick. It's not as easy as saying, would you rather have Andy Dalton back then or Andrew Luck? One costs a whole lot more, and as Brenton pointed out, there are offers for that.
Shut up. Salary caps don't matter. And number two, Sean, let me tell you something that I tell my kid. Let me
Listen.
I want you to listen, Sean. This is what I tell my 12-year-old. If you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything.
Look, I think there is one important distinction to make here, and I'm not trying to twist the argument further, but Andrew Luck's three really good seasons, 11-5, 11-5, 11-5 to start out his career. And look, they were awesome. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to point out that Andy Dalton started 9-7, 10-6, 11-5, 10-5-1, and 10-3. I'm not going to point that out. Andrew Luck, those 3 years, he was on his rookie deal.
Yeah.
They extended him, and this is where it gets a little convoluted. I probably should have taken a break, but I'm not going to, because I think this is important, because I wrote about this in 2017. The Colts screwed this up. The Colts botched this. Andrew Luck, the things that he said at this press conference were some of the most depressing things you will ever hear. I mean, he sounded defeated. He sounded like a guy who had nothing left in the tank. He said, after I played through some stuff discussing 2016, I made a vow to myself I would never do that again. And then he said, I got in a quote, bad place back in 2016. He said, also said, and I'm just reading quotes I tweeted out for the presser, I feel tired, and not just in the physical sense. The shoulder, the ankle, I feel like I can't live the life I want to. I mean, like, that's what he said, one more, the lack of progress on my ankle, I'm in pain, I'm still in pain, it's been 4 years in this rehab injury cycle, for me to move forward in my life the way I want to, it doesn't involve football. But the Colts took this out of a guy.
Yeah, and if you look, even in September, he said, this is right after he made his successful comeback when he was talking about the shoulder injury. He said, quote, I was a sad, miserable human. I was not nice to myself, nor was I scared, nor was I nice to anyone else. I was a miserable SOB to be around. I was nervous. I was scared. So to your point, this comes as a shock. But once you look back at all the injuries this guy dealt with, and once you look back at how obviously he's been feeling for the last couple years, in hindsight, it doesn't seem that shocking. And it's, you know, you honestly just hope that.
No, it's still shocking.
He gets out early and, you know, his career's not, his life isn't wrecked by his career. And that
that's why he said he was retiring. He wants to be able to do things. He couldn't see himself doing it if he kept going on. I'm not sure. Here, let me finish this real quick and then you can answer, Brinson. I'm not sure how this is the Colts' fault. You know, just because the guy got injured, he had bad luck. Okay, let me finish the other two things, and you can answer.
Pun intended? Pun intended? No pun intended.
No pun intended. I don't even know what I said.
Bad luck.
You said bad luck.
Oh, yeah. Number two, you and Sean keep harping on this money issue. The Colts have more cap space than anyone on the planet, so that's not an issue. And number three, and this sort of relates to the whole being dark in a bad place, PFT actually published something on Saturday evening after this all came out. Per league source, there's already scuttlebutt in league circles that the Colts have been aware of Luck's potential retirement since March, and they've been trying to talk him out of it while also trying to move forward with Jacoby Brissett. I would only say to that, that actually looks sort of bad on Chris Ballard, not necessarily whatever happened injury-wise, but they weren't focused more on a quarterback if they're not truly sold on Jacoby Brissett. But if they are sold on Brissett, they knocked the draft out of the park. But those are the things I wanted to say.
By the way, real quick, because Wilson mentioned PFT, I think Mike Florio might have the best story of the night. Apparently, he was on a 25th anniversary date with his wife. Got out like 45 minutes after all this came. I just had 1,000 messages. And could you imagine having your cell phone off, turning it on at 10 p.m. Eastern time, and this just blowing up in your face?
Apparently I'm team Brinson today, because I will defend Brinson's thing about blaming the Colts. They let that shoulder injury linger. And actually, I remember Brinson wrote an article in November 2017 about how the Colts hosed their fans and hosed Andrew Luck. And I pulled it up. I'm not going to find it in time. I think the point is that a lot of this dark place Luck went to stems from the shoulder injury for the most part, because it was such an unknown. And it was such a, he had to fly to Europe to get alternative treatment. He just didn't understand why it was keeping him out. And it seemed like it was a big mental hurdle. So if you avoid that entire shoulder catastrophe and it's just this year and just the ankle, calf, whatever it is, I feel like we're not getting to the retirement point.
And I will say, I agree with Brinson too. I'm sorry, Wilson, that I'm jumping off your team.
The Colts mismanages.
And I think Luck just got tired of the circus that's going on in the background. Because you look at his shoulder injury, that happened in September 2015. We're talking a full 4 years ago. It was two more. They had him playing with a banged up shoulder for all of 2015, all of 2016, because they're like, hey, you play through this, just deal with it. You know, like, you're in the NFL, tough it out, man. And they should have tried to fix this. If they would have fixed this from the beginning, say, offseason 2015, after that season, maybe none of this happens. But it is just like the Colts botched this situation, and Brinson did write about it. And to let the injury linger for 2 years before he eventually sat out a season is just like the most preposterous thing that you should ever put your star quarterback behind.
Do we know that they were behind that, though? That's my.
They knew it was banged up. They knew it was injured.
Wait a second, Sean. Just play.
Hey, just really quickly. Jim, we.
By the way, no one interrupts as good as Brinson.
Right. I'm very good at interrupting. Right, that's going to be good at interrupting. No, but like, we blitzkrieg the Green Bay Packers for having two titles with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. They get endless crap for not winning more titles. Jim Irsay's got one, and he got Peyton Manning and then Andrew Luck gift wrapped to him, and both guys ended their careers prematurely in Indianapolis because of injury issues. I mean, like, maybe that's a coincidence, or maybe this is poor management of players and personnel.
What was – I don't know if I want to blame the Peyton Manning next stuff on the Colts. I'm distancing myself away. I'm backpedaling now, back away from Brinson. But what I was going to say, as I was going to compliment him before he went on that weird thing,
one more. Very important. Jeez. 6.5 is the over-under win total. Congratulations. Hey! Sean, you're acting like you won a bet.
I know.
You guys, I said 6.5, and you guys reacted crazily, and I said, isn't the question what they're over-under going to be? Okay. That's what I was going to say.
Take the over. Go ahead.
When we say blame the Colts for Andrew Luck's injury, it's also important to remember that we're not talking about the current regime. We're not talking about Chris Ballard. And the reason why that regime in charge at the time could have made him play through injuries is because they were constantly on the hot seat. And this is what Brinson wrote in his story about how Gregson and Pagano every year were seemingly make the playoffs or you're out. And those guys aren't going to tell Luck to undergo surgery and miss an entire season if they're on the hot seat, because then they're fired. They're going to make him play through it. And Luck at that age, he probably is not going to say, I want to miss an entire season. He wants to go. He probably feels like he can play through it. So I think that's the reason why the Colts could have made him play through the injuries.
Here's the thing. This is all speculation. So that's why I'm not going to be like, oh, this is all the Colts' fault. If we hear reports that this is actually true, then sure, then I would blame the Colts and finger point the Colts. I'm not blaming them for 2, 3, 4, 5 neck surgeries, whatever Peyton Manning had. And I understand at the time why they cut him. And Peyton Manning seemed to understand at the time because he had a very emotional press conference with Jim Irsay standing right next to him on his way out the door, probably because he knew he was going to make $400 million and win a Super Bowl with the Broncos. But, yeah, so if we find out about it. But then, this is just bad luck.
Luck did say in his press conference that he played through some stuff.
Yeah, every NFL player will tell you that. Tom Brady has played through stuff. I don't know it's to the point where they made him go out there. That's all I'm saying.
But he played with a punctured kidney.
Lacerated kidney.
Yeah, okay. You prefer sliced, punctured, or punctured will work?
I prefer the actual diagnosis. I am a doctor.
right. Sorry, it was lightly sliced as opposed to pierced directly. My apologies.
And by the way, they, as you pointed out, Brinson, they went 11-5 in Pagano and Luck's first 3 years. So it wasn't like Sean mentioned, they were under some pressure to win right away in 2015 that he had to be forced out there. They went 8-8 that year. And 8-8 the subsequent year, too.
No, that's not true. In 2015.
We all thought they were going to fire him, and they held that bonkers press conference, right?
The only reason they were going to fire him was for that stupid play call on that special teams play against the Patriots. That's you.
Ryan Gregson got fired after the 2017 season, right?
Yeah, they went 4-12.
Right. But
prior to that, they had not had a losing record in the Luck era.
Right.
By the way, the year before he missed, as I can't believe I keep on quoting Brinson. But if you looked at the injuries he was listed with on the injury report, it was right shoulder was one of them. And then there was right elbow, right thumb, left ankle, and a concussion. But the shoulder was there on the injury report.
Okay. I don't know what are you saying?
There's evidence that the shoulder was bothering him well before he underwent surgery, and they put off the surgery.
Ryan, the idea that you're like defending the Colts and Jim Irsay is insane. I mean, like you're,
I know you're making me be the corporate guy.
Well, no, but I mean, like if we had anyone who actually kept track of things that were said on this podcast, there's definitely audio of you like blasting Irsay and blasting the Colts for letting Luck get out there. It was one of the all time idiot moves, continuing to play
him back in 2015 when I said it probably then. Maybe. Well, I'm just saying we haven't heard. I don't think I've heard. I know I haven't.
Maybe in 2017 when he didn't play the entire season.
Ryan, what were you going to say? What didn't you hear?
I don't ever recall hearing any reports about any sort of underhandedness in terms of making in quotes Andrew Luck play when he didn't. He should be.
Brinson wrote an entire column after it happened. They didn't.
Is that the report you're going with?
Look, fine. You don't want to say they didn't make him play. They didn't like Bud Palmer and like Varsity Blues, but they didn't stop him from playing. They are very much complicit in this situation because he is a very expensive asset that they paid a lot of money for. They spent a first round pick on him, then paid him a lucrative contract, and then didn't keep him out of harm's way. That's their job.
I would point you to John Breach's conversation about how he would drive Andrew Luck to Cincinnati to play for the Bengals.
What are you talking about? Not after the contract. The first 3 years, maybe.
John said he would pay full contract. Also, the Colts have more cap room than any other team in the NFL.
What does that matter? You guys
are hung up on him being a bust.
Hey, you haven't brought up cap space once. Stop grouping me into this.
No, we've moved on from the bust conversation to the Colts F this up conversation.
So just to be clear.
Can we move on to the should the Colts trade for a quarterback conversation?
Yes, we can, John. And John, while we're there, let's at least mix it in because we're already at 45 minutes somehow.
Holy smokes.
What a great emergency pod. This is what we live for, guys. Also, per Mike Garofalo of NFL Media, per someone who reviewed Andrew Luck's contract, there's nothing that prevents the team from collecting the signing bonus proration outlined in the CBA. In short, Andrew Luck would owe the Colts $12.8 million if he chose to retire. I'll tell you this.
The Lions did it with Calvin Johnson.
They sure did. And Calvin Johnson, by the way, Calvin Johnson, also short career, probably a Hall of Famer. Nobody calls him a bust. I don't know. We're discussing. I'm just throwing it out there.
Baby. You just throw a point in
that, that's
favor.
For our point. That's
I'm not looking to win an argument.
Team dunk faces again.
I'm looking to have a discussion about this. I mean, sure, Calvin Johnson was, incredibly record-breaking quarterback. Andrew Luck just turned out to be average. Anyway,
he was a wide receiver, but go ahead.
The social team takes that and plugs it into a video about Andrew Luck being average.
And it's like quarterback.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
My point being, like, if Jim Irsay does this, he will be vilified. Perhaps not by the Colts fans who booed Andrew Luck, John Breach, but by the national media.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Just to add on, like, Andrew Luck would definitely give the money back and walk away.
Oh, I'm sure Andrew Luck probably has the check in his pocket.
He's like a big sports sign check.
I'm gonna give it to him and walk out and never talk to that guy again. And now that he's been booed, he's probably going to put his house on the market tomorrow, leave Indiana, never return. Like, you know, Andrew Luck, he went to Stanford. He thought this whole thing through. He probably has it down to the nickel. It's probably like $12,804,312.08. You know, he knows the exact ramifications of this decision. I'm sure he knows Irsay better than we do. And he probably already knows if he thinks Irsay is going to ask for that money. So I think he's prepared to pay it. But it would be, Brinson, you just said, it would just start off a crap storm that would blow over the entire country of Irsay looking like the worst person alive if it comes out that he asks Luck to pay for this, pay that full $12.8 million back.
That's where you jump in, Sean. Yeah, I agree completely with you. That's where you jump in, Sean.
I mean, I hope that he doesn't give back the money because he was put through hell, obviously. You know, just trying to make it through 6-7 seasons. But I mean, look, Calvin Johnson didn't want to give up the money. And the whole thing with him isn't that he refuses to pay the money. He had to pay them the money. So if the Colts go for it, he's going to have to do it whether he wants to or not. The thing I wanted to, I feel like, circle back on is how the heck did the fans boo him? Like, to me, that is, if they're doing a like career retrospective on Andrew Luck, that's how you're like starting the video with like showing the like announcement at the draft and then showing how his career ends with him walking off a preseason game and getting booed. How does that happen?
Has anyone seen the actual video? I haven't seen it.
Yes. It's legit. It's not two
it's
people.
It's pretty queer. Yeah.
It's
full on booing. And
it's a Roger Dell level poop.
The one thing I'll say is that, look, the fans who go to a preseason game are not indicative of an entire fan base. I'm sure there are a lot of Colts fans out there maybe listening who don't feel the same way, would not have booed him. That said, this is up there in an all time, I think, like Philly Santa Claus. This is even worse. This is one of the all-time worst booing decisions of all time.
I'm with you. This is worse than booing Santa Claus. Yes. Worse than booing Kobe Bryant or whatever else they did. Worse than throwing batteries at Santa Claus. Andrew Luck gave everything to this city. And if you heard his press conference, he's like, we love Indianapolis. We love this city. I mean, by the way, like Doug Gottlieb, our former colleague who I love Doug and I like doing his radio show. He tweeted, Andrew Luck retiring because rehab is too hard is the most millennial thing ever. Doug, delete the tweet. He's got like a 6.2 reply, like ratio. What if you got 6,000 replies to a tweet? What would you do? Sean would throw his phone and himself in a river if he got 6,000 replies to a tweet.
When you tweet out on Sunday this whole Andrew Luck is a bust thing, you and Sean
I was in the middle though.
The problem is you grouped me in with
Sean's on our side, Ryan.
No, he ain't on our side. Don't open the door for Sean.
I'm in the neutral zone.
Hold on, let's go back to the news real quick.
It's like Sweden. It's the neutral zone.
What could possibly be going through your head as a Colts fan to, you know, you get that notification on your phone while you're sitting at the game. First, you're just going to be in shock. Like, drop your phone. Check this. Is this a Darn Schefter who tweeted that out? You know, like, is it the fake Burner Schefter account? Because, Brinson, you said you had to look at the tweet like 20 times.
At least.
To, like, grasp that it was real. And so that's what the Colts fans, and you immediately as a Colts fan, you start going through the seven stages of just being crazy. Like you're angry. Maybe you feel deserted, but like it does not give you a right to just boo this guy on the field. It was just, Sean hit the nail on the head. It's the most absurd.
Andrew Luck said that he and his wife plan on staying in Indianapolis. Quote,
I have a theory.
This is home.
You guys were dogging out the
– Yeah, and they'll get the moving truck that Bob Irsay took. They're going to borrow that one and bolt Indy in the morning.
Too soon. You guys are dogging Irsay for being terrible and blame the Colts. Maybe if you want to blame the Colts for anything, it's not for turning off the Wi-Fi in the stadium when that alert came out so no one could see it. That's what you blame.
All right. Serious question. I mean, like, I hope I don't get in trouble for this. I'm not questioning the journalistic ethics of
– Start your recorders.
No, I mean –
I'm excited for this.
No, but I mean, like –
Let me record this.
Is it an a-hole move to tweet that out in the middle of a Colts preseason game?
Dude, I am with you 100%. I am with you 100% because you pointed this out earlier, Brinson. The plan was to have the press conference Sunday at 3 p.m.
Andrew Luck said that.
I was going to tell my teammates tomorrow.
No, he's going to tell his teammates in the locker room after the game and say, I can't do this anymore. I can't fight this fight. I'm walking away. And he's going to plan a retirement press conference at 3 p.m. tomorrow. And I get that Schefter has to break the news. So I don't blame
Schefter.
Whoever leaked the news is just as bad as the people that were booing. Like, you got to let him.
Yes.
No, they're worse. They're worse. Like, they basically.
And Schefter did his job. He did his job. You get the information, you have to report it.
If whoever
leaked it to him, that's, you can't do that.
Right. Like, hypothetically speaking, if Jim Irsay called me, I'm not saying it was Jim Irsay that leaked it. I'm just saying he would be the ultimate source and potentially the guy who you would expect to leak it because he wants to get ahead of it and maybe spin it in an anti, you know, quarterback direction. I'm just saying.
Hypothetically
speaking, if Jim Irsay called me and I had Jim Irsay's number and I knew it was him, he said, hey, Will, Adam Schefter's retiring. He said, Andrew Luck is retiring. I am going to break that news because it's a monster deal and we're going to tweet it and it's on CBS Sports HQ and you know, you do the whole thing. So I get it. Whoever had to leak that to Schefter when Andrew Luck had those plans, don't do it. You don't have to do that when he's on the field. That is throwing those fans in the stands. They are sharks. And whoever it was that leaked it threw chum in the water and encouraged those people to boo him because that went around like crazy and they just acted like a bunch of rabid lunatics. And now I don't understand, forgive them, but man, that is freaking
it's the
rough.
Same people who probably during the shoulder injury were talking about he needs to toughen up. And you remember who the guy who reportedly made a comment like that? I believe it was Jim Irsay, what Tony Dungy said about how the injury is mental. Am I misremembering this or did Irsay have that quote? No one's responding.
No, I mean, he said it was mental. He was like, it's mostly mental. Look, right. Irsay, anything Irsay says is not worth taking. Like, it's not even a grain of salt. Like, you have to eat a salt block if you want to hear anything Jim Irsay says. He said that Andrew Luck is mostly mental.
The injury is, quote, inside his head. And that's the type of mentality that leads to people booing because you hear that, you hear the owner say that. And then people during the 2017 season are thinking Andrew Luck is just soft. He's scared to go play instead of there's something wrong with his shoulder, which, you know, he needs to throw a football. Those are the same people I think booing tonight or booing Saturday night.
Two things. Warren Sharp, who is a friend of the show, And Brinson, he's not in front of me. He's just going to know him. And Brinson,
man, not to interrupt you, Ryan, but just to interrupt you really quickly.
Yeah.
I found that story that I wrote in 2017 about that Irsay quote.
Uh-huh.
That's less than 2 years ago. That's kind of effed up, man.
All right.
Like, it was November 2017.
Warren Sharp tweeted at Saturday night after the news broke, insane period. Ryan Grigson killed Andrew Luck's career. And Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus, who's also probably as smart as Warren Sharp and does a lot of great things, tweeted back, scheme and Luck's playing style had as much to do with his getting hit as offensive line. Deep drops and Luck always looking for big plays down the field. So, I mean, basically, smart people, dumb people like us are divided on what the real concerns are, the causes for Andrew Luck's retirement. I mean, I'm sure it's a gray area and somewhere in between if doing the Venn diagram. I mean, the bus conversation, we should probably delete that, but I feel like everything else is up for conversation. You guys are finding quotes where Irsay is sort of hinting at it being more mental than anything, and then Andrew Luck made it clear during that press conference Saturday night that he was frustrated. He was sounded like he was angry at times, and he was in a dark place because he couldn't get healthy, and instead of trying to fix this, and it won't fix itself. And he said, the last 4 years I've been doing rehab and injury. I'm just going to call it a wrap at 29 years old.
Gotcha. That's the shock. I see the shock face. We need the video out because we're all just we're still in shock. We've been talking about this for over 45 minutes, and it hasn't worn off at all.
So here's another part, the more immediate concern or reaction is, how does this affect, from a fantasy perspective, a guy like T.Y. Hilton? Because I was, when this news broke, I was sitting at a bar with one of my friends, and he used one of his keepers on T.Y. Hilton, and he had asked me before the draft if he should do it. And I said, you know, probably as your fourth keeper, it'd be worth it. My only concern is Luck's injury. But I was like, this doesn't feel like 2017. Luck will probably miss a couple weeks. Keep T.Y. I mean, now where do you take a guy like T.Y. Hilton? Is he – to me, I was like, he goes from that fringe wide receiver one to, what, a fringe wide receiver two?
You know who else's fantasy season got ruined? O.J. Simpson's.
Yeah, I mean, I think
Think of being O.J. Simpson at a bar, and the first thing he decided to do was tweet out a video of himself saying, I just drafted you a fantasy Andrew. How could you retire on me?
The funniest response I saw that, this guy, Link Calhoun, is like a gambling Twitter guy. He quote tweeted, he goes, should have drafted Joe Flacco. Could have gotten yourself a white Bronco.
It's
pretty, oh, come on. That's funny. That's good. Too soon?
Yeah,
I don't know when is too soon with that, but
you can joke about the white Bronco. You can't joke about anything else involving that. Like, I can joke about Ryan's white soul.
White. Yeah, that's a car I had. Just so you're clear,
I had a black soul.
As very underrated, but
this is. Are we okay? Keep going.
I'm just kidding. I had a red soul.
Yeah, but T.Y. Hilton's fantasy value crashed. Everyone on the offense. I mean, it crashed. It's nose diving right now. If you did not have your fantasy draft yet, you are like the winner. You're the big winner.
So, John, you mentioned trades for quarterbacks. You never finished up on that.
Well, I was just – do you guys think that's something they need to look into? Or are you just happy with Jacoby Brissett and – I don't even know.
Who are the options?
I'll tell you. Chad Kelly played on Saturday night. And, you know, I think his uncle is Jim Kelly. He was in Denver, got cut there because he couldn't stay out of trouble, which is an issue in college. So he has a lot of talent, but – I mean, if you're talking about trading for a backup, there's certainly, I would imagine, issues there. But they're not going to – I mean, they're going to trade for a starter. That would be a sort of a repeat of what they did with Jacoby Brissett a few years ago when he came there.
I mean, yeah, if anything, this is a – all right, Jacoby Brissett, by the way, is in the last year of his contract. He will be an unrestricted free agent next year, which means that if the Colts want to retain him, and he's certainly not going to sign a contract right now, they will have to give him like a $25 million franchise tag. I mean, if you were doing a winners or losers of this story, Jacoby Brissett is a pretty big winner. Yeah. What do you think of something, Sean? Do you agree?
That he's a big winner.
Yeah, massive winner.
I don't think there's a quarterback they can trade for who is better, or at the very least, you know, they might as well now see what they have with Brissett.
Is that? Brissett's, oh my God. Oh my God. Guys, do you hear that? That's Jay Cutler's music.
I don't even – I can't even joke about that.
That's Ryan Fitzpatrick's music.
Because then I'm writing an article tonight. That's why the Colts should sign.
All right, I got a fantasy hot take on this, though, and we'll get out of here if we want after this. This podcast is an hour long somehow. I actually think that Jacoby – I mean that not Jacoby Brissett in fantasy. Two QB fantasy is fine. But I think that in regular leagues, PPR, whatever it is, T.Y. Hilton and Marlon Mack become much better values because people will stay away from them. You get T.Y. Hilton in the fourth round, Marlon Mack in like the fifth round, and you can, I will invest in them, not where I was before, like which was the third round, but I think they'll be pretty good values because people assume that without Luck, this whole offense craters. And I think Frank Reich is a very good coach and the offensive line is very good and the Colts can do enough damage that they will be viable fantasy options. Although now I would say T.Y. Hilton is an obvious wide receiver too, Sean, and Marlon Mack, I will back off my, he's going to lead, the league in rushing or anything like that. Although I will say, Our friend, colleague, RJ White, out in Vegas right now, just put a, $50 bet on Dalvin Cook to lead the league in rushing at, 20-1 for me. Spicy.
So if you look at, the good news is we do have a little bit of at least data of T.Y. Hilton without Andrew Luck. So if you go back to that 2017 season, the numbers weren't great, but they weren't disastrous. So there's 57 catches. The alarming part is that he had 109 targets, which means he had a 52% catch rate. That's not really what you're looking for there. 966 yards though, and four touchdowns. Now, if he had upped those touchdowns by two or three, that's a pretty viable fantasy season. So to your point, he goes from being in that fringe wide receiver one, and I think there are already maybe some concerns in long-term leagues about his viability as like a keeper type of pick because of his age. I think he's 30, but he's still draftable. He's still ownable. And we spent half this podcast discussing, or not half, I guess, because the bus conversation took over, but we did talk about Jacoby Brissett and how a lot of us feel like they could still win the division. So it's not like he's being dropped with, you know, Nate Peterman back there. He's got a decent quarterback that some people think is worthy of starting this league. So if he hits 1,000 yards and six touchdowns, that's worth owning. So it's all about value. He goes from what being, what was his, any of you guys have his ADP up? I know Ryan loves ADP, that's his new favorite statistic.
47 is my guess.
Hilton?
I think it's higher than
that. It's 30. Oh. It's a bad guess. Oh. Bad guess. Oh. Mac was 32. Hilton's 30. Ebron was 76. As you know, I always keep ADP up because it's still fantasy week, boys. I almost said boys.
So I would still be taking them to be in like the middle of the draft, I think. Because I think there's still that value. And if Brissett takes the next leap, he has more weapons, as Breach noted this time around. He's with a better coach this time around that I think Hilton can still be viable.
Wait a second. Brinson, you just retweeted yourself 2 hours after you tweeted it the first time?
It's called working social media, Ryan. Maybe Sweet. Maybe some people didn't see it.
I saw
2 hours.
I saw it twice, and I'm bummed out.
If somebody else sees it, you just act like it was an accident. I love a self-retweet. I'm going to unretweet it in an hour, then retweet it again in the morning.
Nobody
self-promotes himself better than Brinson.
No.
I'll give Brinson, I don't even know if that's a compliment, but it's true.
I like to go by the next day rule to bang that retweet button. I feel like you gotta wait until, you know, the night and then people wake up.
Get a whole new audience.
Oh, yeah, two hours is pretty bold.
2 hours is just playing. It was an accident, man. I mean, I was trying to retweet something else. I actually hit the wrong button. What are you gonna do?
Luck's retiring, I'm gonna tell my one story where I interviewed him
in a bathroom?
In my entire journalism career, it was my first thing I ever did for CBS Sports. This is July 2011. I was covering the Pac-12. I was at the Bay Area Media Day, which is in downtown San Francisco. So it was only involved Cal, San Jose State, and Stanford. There's only three teams at this Media Day. Bathroom line was insane. I'm next to Andrew Luck, and I'm just like, there's going to be so many people asking him questions. Why don't I just interview him in the bathroom line? And so I just started talking to him, and I was like, you care if we just, I record? And he's like, no, go ahead, man. And he let me take a picture and got my interview done in the bathroom line.
John helpfully, do you not see this photo? He put it in Slack, guys. This is the creepiest photo of all time. It's a blurry bathroom. No, I'm not retweeting this.
John, what phone did you have in 2011?
It was a T-Mobile, a blurry photo phone, that's for sure. Nothing like we have now.
Ryan, if I could take you back, all right. So, you know, nobody can see the future, but if you go back in time and show Jim Irsay this photo that John took of Andrew Luck, and you say, you can either draft this guy who's clearly being stalked, or you can keep Peyton Manning, what do you think Jim Irsay would do?
All right, here, let me look at the photo I'm pulling up right now. Let's see. Here we go. Oh my God. Well, look, hey. I will say this. He's got short hair. He looks sharp. The suit's on. He looks good. I would take issue. My first question would be.
It's blurry, but you can see the fear in his eyes. Let's be clear here.
Yeah, because this guy, this 2 feet, 6 inch man is taking a picture of him with this crazy phone.
Well, there was like seven people in the bathroom line. There was only two toilets. This thing wasn't moving. I knew we had time.
Did you take this photo for a story? Did we run this on the website?
Oh, I just need the photo so that people knew the I had Twitter then. I tweet some stuff out, and a bathroom line photo of a future number one pick is something you can't pass up when you have that opportunity. Come on.
He has my haircut too.
Yeah, he does. So, John, you retweeted this, or you tweeted this out on October 9, 2014. What prompted you to tweet it out 3 years later? Was something happening?
Yeah, I think his name was in the news for something kind of like tonight, but I'm not going to tweet it out tonight.
Yeah, I thought you tweeted this out tonight, which would be super awkward.
No.
One time
did you not? Oh, I thought that was from tonight.
No, it's from 2014. Yeah, this picture looks better than I thought. I mean, John had a phone that was not equipped to take dark bathroom pictures, thank God, for other reasons.
You think I would have that, right, Wilson? I'm surprised I didn't get the joke.
And John always, he is one to take photographs of the people he interviews, so I appreciate the sort of the and go back in time.
So who leaked this thing? I can't get over this.
We know who it is. I just don't want to say it because there's absolutely zero proof whatsoever.
Well, I will say Schefter did send up a follow-up tweet that said Luck has already met with Irsay. So you know that before the preseason game – no, I'm not saying Irsay did it. Then you know Irsay told like his inner group, like, hey, guys, Andrew's retiring. And so this was probably before the preseason game. And, you know, there's a small network at that point. There's probably – five people that knew, and one of them clearly hates Luck because why else would you leak that?
One is his agent, one is Frank Reich, okay, who was at the game. So unless he was texting from the sideline,
Andrew Luck's agent is his uncle.
Right.
He didn't leak it.
Does his uncle represent anyone else, or is it just a one family?
Jim Irsay and Jacoby Brissett.
Well, my point is, if he represents anyone else, there's no way he's doing this to his client, because then players, if they find out, they're like, well, you're the guy that backstabbed Andrew Luck, so that's not happening.
It's his uncle. His uncle didn't leak this. I mean, right. There's...
Maybe it was Frank Reich, and he told Schefter to tweet it during the game so no one would suspect him.
There's only, like, Andrew Luck benefits in no way or fashion from this being leaked out. It has to be, it's like we were talking about Roddy White at the telethon. Name drop for Ryan. The only entity that benefits from this is the Colts. Like, there's nothing that helps Andrew Luck from this leaking out, being booed, and having to do an emergency impromptu press conference, which, by the way, he handled incredibly. And then yet, Irsay and Ballard were ready pretty quick. They're like, don't mind if I do, sit on down.
Well, Irsay's family is there. So it's like, all of a sudden, and I don't know if they attend every preseason game. Luck's wife was there. I don't know if she attends every preseason game. So it's kind of like a snowball started rolling, and more people kind of were finding out as the game, more people who could have potentially leaked it. And so, but you don't do this to anyone at any level. Like, if Brinson told us off after the show tonight that he was going to announce his retirement from writing on Monday, Sean, Ryan,
Ryan just like, Ryan had been checked out for like 20 minutes. He's like, excuse me.
Wait, Brinson's retiring?
I'd love to leak
that. We would not tweet that information out tomorrow. You know, like, we would let Brinson have his moment and announce his retirement at his own show. Okay, Wilson would not.
Neither would Sean.
Brinson would walk away from his laptop and we would all together tweet it from his account that he's retired
tomorrow. With a retirement photo.
Breach, yeah.
With the retirement photo Breach, from the bathroom.
Yeah, we took a selfie of Breach locked in the cafeteria at CBS. You think you're going to give anyone a moment of the sun?
Yeah, come on.
I mean, I just don't understand why you would do this if you're Irsay. It makes no sense. I mean,
listen, you need to quit saying that. We don't know who did it.
We don't know who did it.
I'm speculating. I'm not saying it's him, but it's not Andrew Luck's camp. It means it's somebody from the Colts.
Probably not the coach. He was coaching a game.
I mean, yes, you're right. Probably not the coach who was coaching a game.
Unless it was him and he was like, told Schefter, you can't embargo till now because now no one will know. I don't think it's Frank Reich.
But there's also no like benefit to the Colts for it to be tonight versus tomorrow. Like,
that's why it's hard to say who it is, even if you have a good idea.
Right. Like, in other words, Ryan, it's almost like you'd have to be, I don't know, a crazy person who says crazy things for no reason to be the person to leak this.
I like that Ryan is so clear trying to get out of we're not blaming anyone, and Brinson found a way to turn that into
I didn't blame anyone. Right.
So therefore it's the only person. Yeah.
I'm just saying, if there's a crazy person who says crazy things about his quarterback, maybe that's him.
This is coming from the person who thinks Andrew Luck is a bust.
He's not. I mean,
I'm looking forward to the tweets on Sunday, and then I'm looking forward to you deleting that tweet 2 hours later.
I'm like a podcast, you mean, because it's on the podcast.
Oh, you know what surprising moment we forgot when we talked about all those surprising moments? Because, and I just remember this one because it's another Colts one. Josh McDaniels taking the job like 5 hours later.
Great call.
Like, it is just the Colts are the most insane bananas franchise. If we could had to rank all the teams, we've named three Colts moments so that are literally top 10 of the past 10 years.
So you're saying that this franchise, which is crazy and kooky, magically leaked out the news that Andrew Luck was retiring 12 hours early. Who could have done it? I don't want to get in the bus discussion again. And we're already at an hour and 10 minutes and I love talking to you guys. This is like we're at a bar and it's fun, but I just want to read the top five picks from the 2000 NFL draft to you because boy, oh boy, do they feel different now. Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin III, Trent Richardson, Matt Khalil, Justin Blackmon. Oh no. And then Maurice Claiborne, 6, the Cowboys traded up for with the second round pick. Mark Barron, who was traded on his rookie deal and became a safety. Ryan Tannehill, Luke Kuechly and Stephon Gilmore at 9 and 10 are like great picks.
Oh my God.
Dontari Poe, fine. He's on a different team, his third team. Fletcher Cox, great pick. Michael Floyd, disaster. Michael Brockers, pretty good pick. Bruce Irvin, Quentin Coples, disaster. Trey Kirkpatrick, Melvin Ingram, pretty good pick. Shay McKellen, Kendall Wright, nope. Chandler Jones, Brandon Whedon, Riley Reiff, David DeCastro, very good pick by the Steelers, of course. Dante Hightower, great pick. I mean, it's just this.
Hey, Brenton, while you've been tweeting / podcasting, Sean has brought this to my attention. You are getting dunked on by none other than Don Van Natta Jr., ESPN fame.
Well, I wasn't going to bring it up on the podcast. That's
no,
I love Don.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Don deleted his tweet. That's so am I being dunked on or am I right on the thing about his uncle? Sean, I'm sorry. Did you just get dunked on?
What did you tweet?
Sean got dunked on! Oh, right, no.
Right here. I'm looking at the tweet right now.
Yeah, so.
I just clicked on the link you sent. It didn't show up.
It shows up perfectly for me. So.
What did Don say?
Brenton asked, would Luck's agent, his uncle, in quotation mark, in parentheses, exclamation point, actually leak this? And this was a part of a thread about who leaked this. Maybe it was the ownership or whatever. And Don's response was, good grief. There are a few other agents inside the Wasserman group. Come on, man.
The come on, man. Is what I was like, geez, he's going after him.
He gave him a come on, man.
Oh, he deleted it. He deleted it.
And then he said, I dunked on Brenton. # dunk face.
And he deleted that too. That's why you can't see it.
I'll reload this and see if it goes away.
I'll send you the screenshot so you know we're not.
Oh, he did delete it. Oh, he must have felt bad.
He probably realized.
Don and I are DMing. It's fine.
Is it? Doesn't feel like it is.
That's why he's not even paying attention to the podcast anymore. Right. He's just
all right, let's get off so you can go finish the work, hash this out.
Remember when Ryan Grigson said he couldn't upgrade the team because Andrew Luck's contract? Too crazy.
Don's point's 100% right. If it's somebody else in Wasserman, I think it's not Will Wade. It's on Andrew Luck's uncle for telling his colleagues. Like, keep that to the vest, right? I mean, that's on him if he told his colleagues.
This is turning into a Usual Suspects podcast, and Brenton is not going to give up until he has figured this out.
Go spotlight on that.
I want the truth! Spotlight, yeah.
Who is Mark Ruffalo in this story?
Should I tell?
For sure, because he's the most overacting.
That's too far. I like Mark Ruffalo.
That's too far.
And they did nothing. It could have been us. Wow. It could have been you.
That's the funniest Sean's ever been. Well done, Sean.
That's the funniest thing. Why did you wait until we left hanging out with you to the funniest thing you've ever done? By the way, look, we're at a buck.
By the way, I stole that though. So
we're at a buck 15 on this podcast, buck 12 on this podcast. Let's get 3 more minutes and find out what happened Friday night in South Beach, John Breach.
Oh yes.
Oh, John, you thought I was gonna ask you about your love life, Sean?
Ooh.
For sure. So this is a great curveball.
All right, go ahead, Reach.
Let me just say that I'm glad Andrew Luck's retirement announcement didn't come out last night because that would have just been a Breach hammered on South Beach podcast that I probably would have only said 3 words or I would have incoherently said like 700 and dominated the conversation. You guys would have hung up your Skype on me. That's how crazy it would have gotten. I stayed out till about 3 a.m., you know, did some bar hopping. We're on a podcast. We're talking Andrew Luck. I'm not going to get too crazy, but from 6 p.m. till 3 a.m., I went to about 8 bars.
That's what I'll say is that Breach sent us a text the night of he was out.
Sean, the text came
at 12:30 his time. I was already in bed at 9:30 my
time. No, it was 12:30 your time. Sean didn't even realize that Breach sent that 3:30 in the morning text until I told him, because Sean was awake. Oh no, what were you doing up at 3:30 in the morning, Sean? Your time.
I wasn't.
What were you doing awake?
I went to bed at 9:30 my time.
Were you texting?
No, I went to bed at 9:30 my time.
I don't believe that.
And by the way, I'll say this. I had to go. I hung out with my buddy, because this actually ties back to the Antonio Brown craziness. This is the guy who set up our supposed interview with Antonio Brown at the Super Bowl, Wilson, before his Browns crew pulled the plug on that.
Yeah.
So, you know, owed him a favor, bought him a few drinks for that one.
That was good.
All right. Great podcast. That's a wrap. Fun show. We did an hour and 14 minutes. Didn't do a break. I'm sure that that'll go over well, but that's fine. We did an hour and 15 minutes on Andrew Luck. That's how insane this thing was. This is what we do all season long on the Pick 6 podcast, to emergency pots when big breaking news like this breaks. And thanks for listening. Thanks to you guys for jumping off whatever great lives you have to join me on a Saturday night. It's been fun.